WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. We're going to start with Linda. How can I help?
I have a bond question. I am 67. I'm very well diversified. I have about 63% in stocks and about 33% in bonds. And I, you know, they're talking about the interest rates, how we all know that they're going to go up. And I have short-term bonds and intermediate-term bonds. They're all with Vanguard. I have a variety of bonds, probably too many. But anyway, my question is, with the intermediate bonds, which obviously the term is longer, should I be transferring or selling those and putting more in the short-term bonds? I don't want to get rid of all my bonds, but what I'm kind of at a quandary on what I should do.
Well, you along with the globe and Wall Street. So it's not just a few people have this question. Everybody on the planet at this point has the same question. Now, and here's why the dynamic is so unbelievably difficult. When we talk about bonds and we talk about the generalities of, hey, interest rates are going to rise, we typically talk about interest rates that impact us as borrowers. So the rates we have to pay to refinance a mortgage or buy a house. That's kind of the predominant rate that most people talk about. It is predicated on the 10-year treasury. So we have a 1-month government bond, a 3-month government bond, and then that number or the what is a maturity, the length of time it takes you to get your money back, goes all the way out to 30 years, Linda. So it's called the yield curve. The interest rate that you're going to get paid, this is on treasury bonds, relative to how long until you get your money back. So you get 0% on a short-term bond today, but you get about 2.5% on a really, really long-term bond today, a 30-year bond. The issue that we're having right now is that because interest rates are so low around the world, so 0.5% on the 10-year bond in Germany, that there's pressure on those intermediate term bonds to have rates even come down here in the United States. So the pressure on interest rates going up is on what we call the short part of the bond world, the very short end of the yield curve. So what's interesting is that because prices move inversely with yields, having intermediate term yields actually go down, Linda, isn't a bad thing for your bonds. So your bonds that you own with Vanguard, and they might be intermediate term, that might actually be a fine place to be over the next year. Because even though we say rates are going up and you got to get out of the way of bonds going down because rates are going up, it's really just on the very, very short end. So my opinion is that, yeah, rates are going up, but it's really only short-term rates because the Federal Reserve is going to raise those interest rates. So I think that your intermediate term bonds actually could be absolutely fine. Even though you hear rates are going up, that's an enormous generality when you're thinking about a maturity span that goes from effectively zero all the way out to 30 years. So I think your intermediate term bonds are better than you might think they are. Bert joins us. He's passing through Atlanta. Good morning, Bert. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Hi there. I have a Roth IRA with USAA now. It was with Vanguard previously. What I was wanting to know, when it was with Vanguard, it was in a 2025 fund, and it did well over the years. Well, it almost doubled in money, in fact. Well, I had an investment manager with USAA convince me to change it over to USAA, which I did about a year ago. Since then, it has been losing money, and it's lost almost $1,000. I was wondering...
Well, wait a minute. How much did you put in the fund, just to give me an indication of how much it was really down?
Okay, originally I put in right at $10,500, and I haven't put any more in it over the years. It was almost up to right at $18,000 last year.
And then how much did it drop then?
It dropped almost $1,000. It's right at $17,000 now.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, now I'm with you.
And my question is, should I move it back to Vanguard, or should I just leave it with USAA and trust that they'll, get it back up?
Well, let's just do some quick math here. So you're down about $1,000. The value was $18,000, so you're down about 5.5%. Here's the difference here, and I'm looking up both these funds kind of in real time as we talk. Vanguard total. Let's see, the Vanguard Target 2025 is the fund that you used to have, correct?
Right.
That fund, if I look at the, let's see how this did. So here, let me just tell you why you're down. And again, as a quick reminder to anybody out there, what Bert's asking about is that he's got a target fund. A target fund is almost always a diversified mix of stocks and bonds, U.S. international, typically domestic, developing and emerging markets. So you've got all the different categories of stock. And then you've got usually government bonds, corporate bonds. You've got this whole mix inside of one fund. The good thing about these target date funds is that you've got this great mix. In a year like last year, the bad thing about these target funds is you've got this great mix. And that's exactly what you're feeling here, Bert, is that if I go to your USAA fund and I go to Morningstar.com and I just look up the USA Target Retirement 2030, URTRX is the symbol, I can tell you exactly why you were down. This is a fund that has about 80% in stocks and about 20% in bonds. And that's fine because how old are you?
I am 45.
You're young. You've got, call it 15 to 20 years before you retire. So you want to have in my opinion at least, you want to err to the side of stocks so you have more potential for growth. But in this fund, 30 to 35% of the mutual fund, the target fund, is in international stocks. And last year, if you look at EFA, which is an ETF that tracks the Europe, Australia, Far East, the kind of the international proxy for the stock market around the globe, that was down 6% last year. So you've got this huge, you've got a third of your fund that's in international, and it was down 6%. And that's That's a big part of why this fund for you was down. Well, guess what? You go to your same Vanguard fund that you could have been in, similar allocation, 68% stocks, 32% bonds. The one of the top holdings is the Vanguard Total International Stock Index. So that's 20-some percent of the Vanguard fund. So I can just tell you that Vanguard fund would have had similar exposure, and that part of the pie was net negative. So what happened, it probably didn't, well, let's see here. If I go back and look at what this fund did, Target Retirement 2025, it was still up around 7%. So to see that USAA fund, now here's the other thing. You've got this Vanguard fund, it's got international that didn't do well, but then there's also the US side that did really well last year, up 13%. So I'm not sure exactly why that USAA fund would be so bad. I mean, down 6% and it still has 40% in US stocks. I'm not exactly sure why that could have had such a bad year. But here's my thought. If you're going to use a target fund, Bert, then I like the Vanguard series of target funds because they're a lot lower cost than any other place you're going to go. If you're going to use a target fund, and it's typically it's effectively a fund of funds. It's a mutual fund with a bunch of different mutual funds inside of it. You've got to be careful about the cost. And that USAA Target Retirement Fund is pretty close to 1% a year, where the Vanguard Fund is less than 0.25% per year.
Okay.
So I would not necessarily, and it's hard for me to figure out in 1 minute here why that fund did so badly, but on the surface, it's not going to be an amazing year because a third of it is in international was down, and international was down pretty significantly last year. So,
okay. So
just understand that, and this is for anybody else out there, and I still like using target funds because they give you diversification. You're not chasing the best sector every year. So what you don't want to do is say, okay, well, US did great last year. Let's shift 100% to US. And then we see a year where the international markets do really well and they rebound. And then we try to switch back into international markets and we're hopscotching around chasing returns, which that's a surefire way to never make any money in stocks. So I think your best over time, Bert, is to pick again, one good low cost, that's the key here, difference of what you're doing, fund. I'm not telling you to switch back to Vanguard because it did a little bit better than the USAA. I'm telling you to go back to Vanguard if you're going to use a target fund because it's well diversified and it's low cost. And so I would say, yeah, you're probably better off over the long run if you're going to use a target fund to use Vanguard. Nothing against USAA, but it's a much better cost approach and cost scenario for you to be in. Straight ahead, news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. 404-872-0750. Tony, who joins us from Dawsonville. Tony, good morning. How can we help?
Hi, Wes. I'm saving for a second home, and currently I have $50,000 in a savings account that's only earning 0.75 APY. And what I was wondering is, would it be better for me to invest this money in a mutual fund or ETF?
Couple questions, Tony. It's always fun to think about a second house. Where are we buying a home, my friend?
I'm looking at buying up in upstate New York.
Whoa. That's just a summer home, obviously.
Right. Yeah, summer and winter for me. So my wife wants to go up there in the summer.
What are you going to do, ice fishing in the winter?
No, snowmobiling.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So upstate New York, and are you on the water up there?
Yeah, it'd be a property that would be in the Adirondacks up in the and on the water.
What's it called? What value are you targeting, Tony, do you think?
So I've been looking at real estate up there, and for a house that would be roughly in like $400,000 to $600,000 range.
So you're going to want to, so to some extent, if you do 20% down, I don't know what you're, what are you thinking about putting down, 20%?
Yeah, 20%.
So you that 50, and what's the time frame? How many years until you do this? Are you eyeing it right now? And how old are you, Tony?
I'm 46 right now, and I was looking to do this in like 10 years or so.
Oh, you have a long time to go. So my thought initially was that, gosh, you really need to leave that $50,000 just totally in cash, because if you're going to buy the place in the next 2 years or 3 years, you don't want to put it at risk. It's speculative if you're going to invest it. But if you're looking at a full 10 years, Tony, you've got multiple market cycles. The world will be a totally different place. And hypothetically, you'll see a market well beyond 18,000 where we are on the Dow. So
right.
So I would get it invested, the $50,000, and look at Vanguard Dividend Appreciation as a good place to start. Take a look at, you could just also look at Vanguard 500. I'm always a big fan of Vanguard Wellington, which is a dividend paying stock mutual fund that Vanguard runs, plus higher yielding bonds. It's not just treasury bonds.
Right.
But the whole point here, Tony, is that you've got a full 10 years from now in order for the market to go through full cycles. So you're fine to go ahead and get it invested and get it working, and we'll go from there. I'm your host, Wes Moss, and you're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. Steve joins us from Jacksonville. Steve, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning, Mr. West. Thank you for taking my call.
How can we help?
Well, I have a disabled son who receives Social Security disability, and I want to leave him financially secure when I'm passed away. But I'm concerned that if he gets to be the beneficiary of some type of income that I leave him, it could stop his Social Security, and a couple of trips to the hospital could really, you know, put him in bad shape. Is there some type of a trust fund, managed account, et cetera, that I could set up that won't affect his eligibility for the Social Security, especially that Medicare medical?
The answer is absolutely yes, and that's part of, I'm not an attorney by any means, but a special needs trust. If you go to an attorney and you start doing your financial planning for the family, that's exactly what a special needs trust is supposed to do. It's supposed to protect your eligibility, even though you may have assets for the family, still to protect your eligibility for government assistance. How old is your son, Steve, and what kind of money do you have that are you thinking about setting aside for him in this trust?
Right now, he is 37, and hopefully I should be able to leave him, if I can set up some account, around $400,000 to $500,000.
So if you have an account that is, let's call it $450,000, the amount of income each year on that is in the $20,000 range. If you can have a yield of 4.5%, let's call it 4.5%. Mm-hmm. Is that plus his government assistance, if you were no longer around, Steve, is that approximately enough, or is that on the light end?
That would help him, yes. That would do it.
So the answer for you, I think, I have two parts of the answer. One, the answer is explore a special needs trust or some other type of trust with either an elder care attorney, an elder care attorney is someone that specializes in this, or an estate planning attorney. Those are two specialties within the practice of law that would be very familiar with setting the right kind of trust up with all the right parameters, particularly for you and your family, number one. And then the next part of the answer is considering what kind of investments go inside that trust, how the money's actually invested. Typically, for something that has a need of current income, that's why in my opinion, you'd place a fairly high value on an income-oriented approach. And again, I favor that as my general philosophy for investing to begin with, but stocks that pay dividends, bonds that pay interest, that also give you a balance so you're not completely tied to the stock market itself, and then some of these other specialty areas that pay distribution, so that you can have a relatively high annual cash flow for your son, as well, as opposed to drawing down and selling from the principal. So those are the two areas. Steve, if you want to email me, I can give you a couple of attorneys that I know that in the Atlanta area. I know you're in Jacksonville, but they'll also practice in the state of Florida that at least you could talk to or get referrals from. My email, radio, RADIO, @yourwealth.com, YOURwealth.com. We're going to go to Winston in Roswell. Hey, Winston, how can we help?
Hey, yes, I wanted to, I'm thinking of retiring at the end of March. I'm 62 now, and I have a pension plan of work, and they're offering two options. One option is to take a lump sum payment, and the other option is to take an annuity. My question to you is, should I take the lump sum and roll it out into an IRA of some sort, or do something with it, or leave it there and take the annuity where I get a steady income, you know, until life?
Ah, Winston. Wow. Okay. I'm going to get on my calculator. This is something that I've written about in fact, there's an article on ClarkHoward.com that I wrote specifically about this. It's titled, "When Should You Take the Lump Sum Over the Pension?" So pretty common question, because companies regularly try to push people out and say, hey, here's some money. Take this. Don't take the pension. Mm-hmm. So Clark had written an article that says, if you're getting a pension offer, you probably should take the monthly amount, because the company's trying to dangle this lump sum in front of you, because it's actually a better deal for them if you take the lump sum.
Okay.
That's not always the case, though. I don't think it's quite as easy as just take the pension. It's not an always or an ever answer. Instead, you've got to look at the calculation. I think of it in terms of, there's what I call it the 6% rule, or does your pension pass the 6% test? So if you got to take your monthly amount, whenever you're going to get it, and usually use the highest amount, the life amount, not the joint survivor annuity. That's another consideration we'll talk about in just a second. You multiply that by 12, and then you divide that by what the lump sum they are trying to give you in lieu of the monthly amount. So let's do some quick numbers. What is the monthly amount that they're offering?
The monthly amount, since I'm taking it early, then 65 would be 765.37.
Okay.
Single, yeah.
And then how much is the lump sum amount?
The lump sum amount is $130,273.
All right. Now, I did the math on that as we were talking. So $765 times 12 is $9,200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty significant. And then you get your lump sum amount, which was what again?
$130,273.
So you divide 9 9,200 by 130, and you get 7%. So it passes the 6% test, meaning that if you're just going to take the life annuity, how that's a pretty good deal to be guaranteed 7% for the rest of your life. It's not right. a bad number. Now, are you married, and would you need to take the spousal option?
No, I'm not married.
So it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that. Do you have any other liquid assets or any other savings, or would that 130 be the liquid money that you have?
No, I have a 401k that I rolled out from the company into an IRA that's being managed by Wells Fargo.
Oh,
so I have that as well.
Approximately how much is that?
That last time I checked was $630,000.
Okay. Well, there's plenty of liquidity there.
Yeah.
Then you, of course, at some point will be able to take your Social Security. Now, are you going to will you go find another job, do you think? Or are you just going to call it an early retirement?
I was calling it an early retirement at the moment. You know, things could change in a couple of months. But for the rest of this year, I might just, you know, kind of relax. I've been working for 35 years, so I wanted to relax a bit.
And I would venture to say, how much is your Social Security if you started at 62?
It's about $1,800 a month.
So $1,800 a month and $765 a month, you would have a gross income. I'm doing some financial planning here, about $2,615. So call it $2,600 a month.
Right.
Then, and that's not going to ever go away. That's the great part about that piece of it. Then you have your $630,000 IRA.
Right.
Let's call it at 4.5% a year. That's another $28,000.
Mm-hmm.
Divide that by 12. That's another $2,300 a month, $2,350 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Winston, you have a monthly income that's almost $5,000 a month, $4,965 a month, $5,000 a month. That's a pretty good retirement.
Right, exactly.
So I would be inclined, if you told me you had no other savings, I would say I'd be leery. To
right.
take the monthly pension amount, I'd say probably take the lump sum, but it passes the 6% test. You already have some other liquidity. That's a pretty decent number, 7% a year for the rest of your life. I would lean, at least from the information that you and I have talked about today,
mm-hmm.
I would lean towards taking the monthly amount and not the lump sum. Now, the only problem with that is if you pass away tomorrow, the company gets the money. And your heirs don't get anything. So you probably have at least what's called a 10-year period certain option.
Yes, they do.
That you're going to at least want to do that. At the bare minimum, you're going to at least want to have somebody get paid for 10 years if something happens to you untimely early on in the cycle.
Right. There's a 10-year and a 20-year. And on the monthly amount dropped slightly.
So depending on how many heirs you have, I would you want to at least do the 10 and potentially the 20, and that's a longer conversation. But again, go to clarkhoward.com and you'll find an article that I did. I'll tweet this out and I'll put it on Facebook. It's just called When Should You Take a Lump Sum Over a Pension? And I have the calculation and some of the real main considerations you need to look at. I'm your host, Wes Moss, and you're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. We're going to go right to the phones here. Roxanne joins us from Marietta. Hey, Roxanne, how can we help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My son has started working. He's filing his first income tax refund this year. I wanted to know what the best investment would be for him. I'm making him put away half of whatever the refund is.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. So what is he doing, by the way, and how much is he making?
He works in retail, and it's less than $4,000. So it's part-time while he's going to school.
So part-time while he's going to school. And again, how old is he?
18.
Well, so if he wants to, now you're saying he's made $4,000 or he's going to get $4,000 back on the refund?
He made a little bit over $4,000. I don't know how much he's going to get back as the refund.
Oh, so the refund, we're talking about a couple $100, right? Not a couple thousand.
I'm hoping it's more. I'm not sure. This is his first year, so I'm not sure what he'll be getting back.
Well, okay. So here's the deal. Let's just call it $500, which it might be a little bit high. But my thought is that the earlier the better. If he's 18 and you can get him to do anything, is a wonderful start, because the minute these kids can get some sort of glimmer of compounding is the minute they can get addicted to investing. And that's a wonderful thing to get really involved with and get a bug for. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. The traditional way, I'd say just have them open up a Roth. And even for a couple hundred bucks, open up a Roth at Vanguard. Just a Vanguard Roth IRA, can do it online. That's easy. It's really easy. And do and look at Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Fund. You can look at the Vanguard 500 Fund. All wonderful young person options to get started with and to add to and add to and add to. Of course, you could always use one of these digital advisors. I know I've been talking this morning about Wella. It's Youra Wella, Wella.com. It's a great way to link all of your big savings type accounts, investment accounts, and then any debt that you might have to try to get rid of it. So you see your big picture. And that's at Youra Wella, Wella.com. So a lot of options out there, but the greatest thing on the planet for him and you to teach him as a mom is just to get started, get the investing bug as early as humanly possible, and he'll thank you one day. And if you need some help financially when you're 80, he'll be there to help. And that's you getting paid back for being a smart mom. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. My website, just wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button right there. The email comes straight to me and our team, and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Stay tuned for Adam Goldfein, news, weather, traffic as well, right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.